Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod, MIPOD.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Pardon My Take, we got a twofer Friday and a little just free form. We're going to chit chat. We're going to have some fun with the fellas. We have Barry Pepper on, who you probably know as the sniper from Saving Private Ryan. He's actually been in a ton of other movies. He also sat next to us in the Mayweather-McGregor fight. One of those interviews where we did it, not really expecting much, and came out of it being like, holy shit, that guy's really cool. Couple audio issues, like once or twice, one of his answers, like one word gets cut out. But awesome, awesome interview.
It also inspired me to watch Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
I've never seen it before.
Really?
Great movie,
what'd
right?
you think? Oh, you haven't done it yet?
I haven't done it yet. I'm watching this weekend.
Okay. Okay. He kills like a million people.
He is a badass. And then we have Will Zalatoris on the show, part of our golf crew now. Seamlessly fits in. Really cool guy. We're going to talk about that. We got more stuff. We got Firefest. Let's have a little Friday show. We're brought to you by our friends.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. Hey!
Hey! Now in the streets there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang a low washing, and then I can't.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Coors Light and Coors Seltzer. Go chill this weekend with a Coors Light or Coors Seltzer. Today is Friday, April 16th. And love is dead. Love is dead.
Again?
Love is part due.
I feel like A-Rod is breaking up just for the clout these
hey,
days.
Hey, listen, we don't break up shame. I'm not laughing, but I just need
his
a moment.
His Instagram story is just, it's all time. Did you
I just
notice
need
how,
a moment.
So in this Instagram story, the way he's got it set up, it's pictures of like J-Lo and her daughters lying down on baseballs, pictures of A-Rod and J-Lo, and then the coup de grace, the best part, is he put like a box of Kleenex down there to imply that he's been
dude.
Crying.
I hope that someday you feel even one, I can't listen to this anymore, one-tenth of the love that A-Rod and J-Lo felt. J-Rod, America's favorite celebrity couple, and love is dead.
Well, how lucky has J-Lo and A-Rod been to have something that they cherish so much that it hurts so badly when it's taken away?
Yeah, it's
really
truly the test. It is truly the test. Would you rather never love or, what is it?
What's love. It's better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all.
Yeah, there it is. That's it. I just like to use this for inspiration. A-Rod, he did have an Instagram story where he was playing this song as PFT was mentioning what was in it, and it did remind me of Michael Scott not paying for the full song.
Yes, when he was just at his computer playing that on repeat. Well, in that scenario,
the fray, I think.
Yeah, that was like James Blunt or whatever. Yeah.
In that scenario, Jan was breaking up because she was sleeping with her assistant Hunter, the younger assistant of the company.
Yes,
Big Cat, would that make you the
Hunter? Yes.
Have you and
although every
J-Lo
time I've met
J Lo,
she's been utterly repulsed by me. Like truly, like you know when you could actually physically see someone throw up a little bit in the back of their mouth. That's usually the look, and I don't blame her because she's J Lo and I'm me. But yes, I am sad. I think they'll remain friends, and you know, things just happen. Things, love is a hard game, guys. Love is a tough game.
I think we need to take A-Rod out for boys weekend.
I agree.
Just tear it up. Get
us,
hit the tanning bed.
Sheets.
Maybe get a makeover, get a lift in.
MJ,
beer bong, some
Brady.
Coconut water. Yeah. All the A-Rod stuff.
Yeah, we'll fucking do it.
I feel like his divorce party would be kind of like that scene in Zoolander where they all just get into a Jeep
married.
And start slamming Starbucks.
They weren't
gasoline
married.
Gasoline fight.
They weren't married, so it's not a divorce.
The engagement call-off party.
Yeah, right.
Listen, he's a businessman. He's married to the Timberwolves now. That's his first love.
Listen, that is actually a great, not I'm not going to say consolation prize, but, you know, sometimes you break up and it's like, hey.
Thank God we didn't buy the Mets.
Yeah, uh-huh. Gonna go buy. Yeah, right, exactly, Hank. Good. Here's another one. They didn't ever have to get to the point where they even had to have the conversation of whether or not to invite me to the wedding. Because clearly they would have had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And also, yeah, like sometimes you see a guy break up and he goes and buys a sports car. Well, what's tired buying a sports car for your midlife crisis, wired buying a fucking NBA franchise?
BK, you've got insight into A-Rod's mentality a little bit.
I sent him a text.
Does he is he pretty much a writer for the New York Post, or do they have to type out the stuff that he leaves at their voicemail?
It's he does the voice notes.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is a new trend.
Because he treats
the
New York Post like Derek Jeter treats the Players Tribune.
Yes.
It's basically A-Rod's
his.
Blog.
It's
yeah.
his. I saw there's a trend. I don't know if this is just one of those things that just makes me feel utterly old, but I saw a couple people like tweeting screenshots of their text messages, and it's all just audio messages, which is a phone call.
That's fucking crazy.
Like they Rhea just does it sometimes. It's actually
it's
insane.
it's just this is how we like oh my God, this is how we text. Anyone else do this? And I've seen a few people do this. It is just a string of audio messages sent back and forth. That's a phone call.
Every time I see that pop up on my phone from somebody, I just assume it's a mistake.
Yeah.
Like they accidentally hit it in their pocket and it's just the sound of like, I don't know, a gum wrapper rustling around.
I also like don't, I play it and then I can't hear it and then it deletes automatically like it's fucking James Bond or something.
Cyberdust.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from heartbreak because I don't know how much more breaking my heart can
take.
We'll
just play the song one more time.
Okay, hold on. We'll just pick it up from there.
Let's get in our feels.
The other big story we had today. Wait.
I can't move on just yet. I need to hear Coldplay one last time.
Okay, hold on. Oh, fuck. I got to reload it now. Oh, no. That was going to play. Hold on. Let's listen to this 15-second ad. Oh, this is actually kind of a good vibe. The other story we had today is LaMarcus Aldridge a Hall of Famer? Nah.
Yeah, hang on. Let me just be strong.
You know
what?
Fly
high, little bird.
I'm going to say this right now. People bash Coldplay. I guarantee you, like, if you don't listen to Coldplay, you're a loser.
You know, it'd be an all-time flex if J-Lo
like the original
went
Imagine
out
Dragons.
And if she bought the New York Mets right
Ooh.
Now, if she invested in it.
From Stevie?
Yeah.
From Stevie C? Coldplay is one of those bands that just for everyone decided, like, oh, we'll make fun of them. Because, you know, yeah, they sit in the piano and they do the English accents. They're always raining and sad. They have some songs that are, like, jams.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got probably, like, six or... Yellow?
Yeah.
Is
Strawberry Swing is one of my favorite Coldplay songs.
Obladi.
Yep.
Viva La Vida.
Viva La Vida. Thank
that
you.
That guy's voice is angelic.
What's
Chris,
his name again?
Chris Martin.
Chris Martin.
Martin. Their son with Gwyneth Paltrow is Apple.
Gwyneth Paltrow
Apple Paltrow
is the vagina.
The vagina goop.
Yes.
Yep.
I didn't know that until right now.
How about that? How about Gwyneth Paltrow, like, having a very good, like, career as an actress, and then you just make a shitload of vagina goop, and then you're the vagina goop lady.
She's selling various things that smell like her vagina.
Yeah, it's just like you didn't need the rebrand that you took.
What she did was, somehow she's making good money, not from horny guys. Yeah. It's mostly from women that are, like, buying Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candles.
Right. I'd buy one if I needed one. I don't, but I would.
You know who needs one?
Don't say J-Lo.
A-Rod.
Oh, okay. We're respecting their privacy, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, other stories. LaMarcus Aldridge did retire. That was sad. I do feel bad for him. A regular heartbeat, which, how long did he have it for?
Arrhythmia? He got it once he got to New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess he was just diagnosed with it, but it's probably pretty serious.
Yeah, that's so, a scary thing to have
him
happen.
Him and the goaltender, Henry Lundqvist,
mm-hmm.
he had to basically retire from that, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. We lost Henry Lundqvist, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Prince Philip all in 1 week?
Yeah.
Wasn't Lundqvist on, like, the Capitals at one point?
He still is, I think, technically a Capitol.
His eyes are still gorgeous.
They're beautiful. His hair is fantastic, too.
Yep, all facts.
Bonk.
And then Ronald Acuna is truly the face of baseball, just hitting. We actually have, you know what the debate is that we had? You were correct that there was going to be a load management, but now we have a real debate. Ronald Acuna and Luka Doncic, are they both the faces of their respective sports? Are the basketball and baseball in a great spot now because they have the next heir apparent?
They've got, you know what they have? They both have a young crop of superstars
right.
ready to take over the league.
Right.
And so I think we kind of nailed the composition of, like, the face, the ass, the quads of baseball. Tony La Russa should be the liver of baseball. We
yes.
missed that one big
yes.
time.
Yes.
Mike Trout should be the chin and the neck of baseball.
Yep. Shout out Carlos Rodon for the no-hitter that should have been a perfect game, but he hit a batter with two outs. I love whenever we get a perfect game or no-hitter, and then we get the rules of baseball, because there was the slide into first base that everyone was like, that's Bush League.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion on no-hitters and perfect games, I think you should get to do anything to try to break it up. But you also should get to, like, throw it at their head the next day.
Yeah, so if you pull some Bush League stuff like a bunt to break up a no-hitter, I think that's fine, because getting that win over the – if you can't get a win in the game, not being no-hit is just as good as a win.
Right.
That way you're not, like, immortalized
as right.
the team that got no-hit. So, yes, I agree. Like, do anything that you can. If you're down, like, 11 runs, doesn't matter.
Right, and if it's quote-unquote Bush League – I'm not going to complain about it. I just expect there to be some retribution the next day.
Yeah, I love Bush League.
Right.
Bush League is some of my favorite parts of baseball, when people, like, do shit that's outside the unwritten rules.
Yep, absolutely.
Love that stuff. Also, we had an article come out in Sports Illustrated yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought it was fake when Billy sent us the quote card from it.
Yeah, so we have Daniel Jeremiah coming up next week. Awesome interview with him on the draft stuff. So we actually read this during the interview.
Yeah,
go ahead, read it again.
Well, it was basically Trevor Lawrence. It was two quotes. One from his high school coach saying that he doesn't need to win. And then his dad being like, yeah, I'm not so sure he can just walk away tomorrow.
Ooh.
And so I thought they were fake quotes, because they looked like, and this is like the new thing that you see, we saw with Kevin Durant and Shannon Sharpe. You can just put whatever you want on a quote board and people are like, oh shit, he said it.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it was just a picture of Trevor Lawrence with those quotes. I thought it was made up, but now people are actually having the debate, does Trevor Lawrence love football enough?
Mm.
Your thoughts, Billy?
He does. Either one, he's trying to tank his draft stock to not go to one of the top teams with picks. Two, he actually doesn't like football, which means that he's never fought to keep playing football, and he's going to get to a point in the NFL for the first time in his life where he's never had to play hard
fight
to
or flight
keep playing football.
He's uh-huh. going to flight.
So, for example, in high school, you play hard, you know, because you love football and you want to play at the next level. It was assumed he was going to play at the next level in high school. He went to college. It was assumed in college he was going to play at the NFL. So he never has had to play to keep playing football, and that's, like, huge in the NFL because, you know.
Because you want to play football.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Got it.
But if he doesn't actually like playing football.
Someone on that roster wants it more?
Yeah.
Maybe a Gardner Minshew?
It's going to be. Mm.
Do you think that Trevor Lawrence would break his own hand with a hammer so that he could get one extra year of football?
No.
I don't think that he would.
Mm.
But he also might be way better at football. That's the thing.
But he also may get to the league and realize that he's, you know, he can be one and done like after this year. They could just replace him.
That would be hilarious if Trevor
he's never been an he's never been an expendable player in his life.
Right. He's probably not an expendable player now either when he goes number one.
I don't fully follow though, Billy. Like
Tom Brady
had backups at Clemson. He had to play well.
They were never going to replace him. Cause
I mean, he
does
have a five-star backup behind him
If
right
he
now.
Didn't play well, they would have replaced him.
Fact.
No, those types of guys. Well, there's
you, don't,
also,
you don't get it, Hank.
He was never in a situation to
now,
fail.
Hank, now his job is to play football.
Isn't being the quarterback, you know, if you throw passes and they get intercepted, like that would be considered failing.
Has he thrown interceptions?
Never. Once.
No, not a lot.
No, he has. What are you talking about? Yes, he has thrown.
No, but I'm saying Billy's like he was like if he throws interceptions, you know, that's considered failing.
He's never
if he has bad passes, that's failing.
There's a second there where you're like Trevor Lawrence actually has never thrown an interception. I might be wrong.
He's lost.
He's never been in a situation where he's not one of the best players on the field.
Listen, Billy, I'm all for this. I'm all for you trying to find reasons why Trevor Lawrence shouldn't be the number one pick because that's interesting. I would actually say it'd be more logical to be like his hair's too long. Think about it that way.
I don't get the whole Jesus complex thing.
When was the last time a long-haired quarterback won a Super Bowl? I can't think of one.
Ooh. Actually, didn't Brady,
when they lost,
he had his hair longest.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it makes it easier for defenders to sack you if you've got the long hair flowing back there.
Did Breeze have kind of long hair when he won? No.
No.
He did have it at one point. Every quarterback has tried the long hair.
Yeah, Justin Herbert got better after he cut his hair.
Rodgers definitely won with the...
Breeze had pretty long hair.
No, Rodgers had long hair when he won.
That's shorter than your hair right now.
Rodgers had long hair when he won.
No, it's not. This?
I don't think a Super Bowl quarterback has ever had hair that touches their shoulders before.
I'm pretty sure Rodgers had long hair when he won.
For a quarterback.
Not that long.
Maybe not. Okay. So he grew out after. You're right. Everyone grows it out after.
Let's get on that. Let's get that ball rolling a little bit because you can say things like he should spend more time trying to connect with his split ends than cut them off. Mm-hmm. He should spend more time in the film room than the barber's chair. Things like that.
I think he loves his hair more than football.
There you go.
Actually, I'm looking at it right now. Rodgers had long hair right before he won the Super Bowl. So there it is. Interesting.
Also, let's just come up with some fake quotes from Trevor Lawrence that makes it look like he's a big red flag walking around. And then we'll create like a fake podcast and then put the quote cards out from that podcast. Things like, Trevor Lawrence, I have mono.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, if I get mono, I will probably retire.
Yep. Trevor Lawrence, I've never
Sam Darnold's tougher than me.
I've never had a friend attend any birthday party I've ever had. I became a Jehovah's Witness just so I could stop having birthday parties by myself.
There it is. Wait, hold on. Because this is one of those things that drives me insane.
I mean,
when we say something and then tomorrow someone's gonna be like, "How could you forget this guy?"
No, I don't think we're forgetting anybody. I legit don't think
it's,
any long haired quarterback has ever won a
Super Bowl. What's crazy is all these quarterbacks have had long hair, but not when they like Nick Foles has had long hair, but not when they won.
McMahon?
No. I mean, you could say Joe Namath, but that was just long hair at the time, which was it covered his ears. And they're like, "Look at this fucking hippie."
Yeah,
Charlie Whitehurst is probably the best long-haired quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
Yeah, McMahon wasn't even close. I mean, he had a hairstyle that was memorable, but it wasn't you. You wouldn't say that's a long-haired quarterback. Damn, this is going to drop.
We're talking like Sunshine.
Wait.
They're all fictional. All the good.
Remember the Titans, Sunshine. Yeah, so that type of hair.
There's Falco. Shane Falco had long hair.
The Titans was real. PFT.
I think I have one.
Ronnie Bass.
I think Ben's hair was long for one of the Super
Bowls. No way.
Dude, he has done the long hair though.
It's never been down to his shoulders.
Well, though. I'm talking about just like clearly grown
shaggy.
Out.
What about Joe Montana?
I think Ben had long hair. I really do.
I don't think it was anywhere close to Trevor Lawrence's neighborhood. You think Ben Roethlisberger would remember to wash his hair every day?
Look at that face. Look at that fat fucking face. What a legend. What an absolute legend.
We also had Clowney. The Browns signed Clowney.
Yeah, the Browns are now officially, if I had to pick a Super Bowl winner today, it would be the Browns just because they have three number one overall picks in the last 5 years. Is that right? No, what is it? No, in a 5-year span was the thing. It was Myles Garrett, Baker Mayfield, and Clowney.
Yeah.
So in a 5-year span, 3 number one overall picks. That right there just tells me from my own draft analysis, that's the greatest team that's ever been created.
Clowndavion Clowney.
Yeah.
So I, in my opinion, because I know Stephen Che thinks that he stinks right now, I think that Jadeveon Clowney kind of sucks more than he stinks. I think sucks is better than stinking. So if a guy sucks, he can still be pretty good, but he's not living up to the expectations that come along with his name.
Right.
It's not like he shouldn't be on the field. If you stink, you shouldn't be on the field. Then if you're trash, you shouldn't be in the league.
The problem is he's kind of sucked for a little bit, so it might be just who he is now.
He sucked his way into stinking?
Right. He's. I mean, how much, and I know this is kind of a ridiculous thing to say, but I really truly believe it. How many millions of dollars do you think Jadeveon Clowney has gained in his life, in his career, from that one hit against Michigan?
Ooh.
Like, it has to be. There has to be a number.
60% of his career earnings.
Like, every time you think of him, you think of that hit, and you're like, well, he's a beast. And he obviously was very good for a while, but he hasn't been that level for a year or two.
Every now and again, you come across a highlight that is, when you see it, you're like, that is football.
Yes.
And that was just a football play.
Yes.
He hit the dude in the back. Everything happened perfectly on that. He went straight through the middle, hit the guy, knocked his helmet off. The ball came out, and then he palmed the football on the ground and picked it up. Like, it all happened perfectly in succession where you're like, that is the perfect football highlight.
I thought that was going to be John Bostic after his Teddy Bridgewater hit and the Bears drafted him.
When he knocked the
shit
out of him.
But then and the Gators ended up losing that game, so that was a whole different story. But yeah, there's that one huge hit. That's basically our draft. Like, if you hired us as a part of a scouting team, like, hey, listen, just try to get one huge play that everyone remembers forever, and you will be good.
And likewise, it can be true in the opposite direction. Like, if you're that linebacker from Ohio State who got burned in the Natty.
Yeah.
That was bad. What's that guy's name? Oh, Tough Borland. Where he looked like his legs were two different sizes when he was trying to chase him down.
Yeah, he tried two different gates while he was running.
Yep.
The other weird story we had was, I don't know if this has been debunked. I've seen conflicting reports, but the original report was that Sam Darnold was offered, the 49ers offered the 12th pick in the draft to the Jets for Sam Darnold, and the Jets said no because they didn't know if Zach Wilson's shoulder was going to work out, or like they had issues about that, so they were thinking about maybe keeping Sam Darnold and not trading him. Now everyone obviously is running with the story that the Jets are idiots because they didn't trade for the 12th pick and all this stuff. They would have had the third and the second and the 12th.
Yeah.
I actually am going to side with the Jets here simply because Kyle Shanahan is that type of coach that if he got Sam Darnold would be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, so it'd make them look bad.
It'd make you look bad. Like, he's the one guy I wouldn't want to trade my quarterback to, just knowing that he's going to end up looking good and everyone would be like, oh, the Jets suck even more.
Yeah, it's that. And also, I could see the Jets front office being like, you know what? I'd be more scared of facing off against the 49ers in the Super Bowl than the Panthers.
Right.
So
right.
I don't want to have to go back up against Sam Darnold.
Right. But I really do think that Kyle Shanahan's of that level with quarterbacks where I wouldn't want to trade my first pick, my first round pick to him, knowing that if Mitch Trubisky got traded to the 49ers,
you'd be like, fuck here.
I'd be like, this is going to suck
because
he's going to make him awesome and everyone's going to laugh at me more.
He's the next boyfriend on Instagram. Like, if J-Lo starts dating Kyle Shanahan,
come on, we're over that.
Be tough.
Come on,
be tough.
Doing look. That for?
Play the song again.
Come on. It hurts. It hurts. It's okay to, I think, in 2021, as guys, as dudes, it's okay to say when you're hurt. A famous person once said, it's okay to not be okay.
You know what?
Where does Alex's Instagram go from here?
Sky's the limit.
Booties? Perfect booties?
Start selling vagina-scented candles. A-Rod should start selling A-Rod penis-scented candles.
I'd buy it. Put one in this... Put one in here and just alpha.
Smells like Old Spice.
Yeah.
That I mean, the girl that kind of is rumored to have broken, it's Jay Cutler and A-Rod.
No, that's not. Hank, come
what,
on.
Tommy Lahren?
No.
Pretty much.
Hank, you know that this is just, sometimes things happen, okay? No, nothing more than that. What are you going to say, Billy?
Did Jose predict the future?
No, no. All right. Gonna need a few more seconds of the song after that comment. It's going right back into
Billy,
it.
Billy, do you regret beating Jose up so badly when it turns out hashtag Jose was right?
It's like, what the fuck?
No, Jose is a
Billy,
scumbag.
Oh, I'm really glad that Jose didn't kill you. Because that would have been tough to get murdered by Jose.
And then have him be right.
And then have him be absolutely correct
about
everything after.
Yeah, that would have sucked. That would have sucked a lot.
For the record, I still don't like Jose Canseco. He's still a rat.
Correct.
He claims to be a time traveler.
He claims a lot
of things. So he probably went into the future. Sai would have beat his ass and been like, get out there as soon as I can.
He should build a time machine and go back and work out. That's what he should
do. Yeah. Maybe not have your shoulder. Maybe don't look at the pay-per-view numbers before you go in the ring so you don't take a dive.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he had a time machine, I don't think he ever would have agreed to fight our intern and lose. If he could see that.
I think he saw how much money he ended up making.
Yeah, he probably. How much of that paycheck do you think Jose Canseco still has in his bank account right now?
He doesn't believe in the stock market and, like, assets.
He sounds like a dude you would get along with.
I know, I kind of want to go ahead.
Yeah, like, everything you say. Is something you would, like, you saying, oh, yeah, Jose thinks he's a time traveler. Like, you're the judge? You definitely
I don't
think
I'm a time traveler.
No, but you would be down with the time traveler.
Oh, I'd be so down.
Right.
But go in the future, not the past.
Got
butterfly,
it.
Butterfly
people don't do that often. When they time travel, they always think about going to the past. I'd go to the future.
Yeah, no, dude, butterfly effect.
Can you affect the past by going into the future?
I would.
No. What if you go into the future and build a better time machine where people can go further back into the past?
Oh.
Then yes.
Think about that. I would go into the future like 3 to 4 months from now when A-Rod and J-Lo get back together.
I hope they keep doing this for the entire offseason.
Be cool with me.
Be a great way to get us back into football.
Yeah. Well, like, I like how we say
everything goes by the football.
Yeah, because J-Lo and A-Rod have so much to do with football.
Yeah.
They're on the football. The Mayans, you know, the Mayans had their calendar. We have our football calendar. All right, let's get to our interviews. We got two awesome interviews. So Barry Pepper, which was one of those interviews, I'll fully admit we took it because we sat next to him at McGregor Mayweather.
In front of him.
In front of him.
Behind him.
Yeah, we get that wrong in the interview.
Yeah, and we thought that would be funny to have him on, and then he turned out to be like one of the most fascinating guys we've talked to.
I would love to have him in the studio to have that conversation.
Yeah, so there's a couple of moments where a word or two cuts out just from technology. It sucks. Sorry, just a heads up, but we got the gist of it, and he's an awesome interview. And then we're going to have Will Zalatoris, who is now part of our golf crew. Before we do all that, our friends at...
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Okay, here he is, Barry Pepper. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is actor Barry Pepper. He's got a new movie that is out April 16th. It's called Trigger Point. It's in theaters and on demand. It's going to be an awesome movie. I'm very, very excited for it. So, Barry, thank you for joining us. I just alluded to it before we started. When we saw your name come across our list of potential guests, we were like, we have to have Barry Pepper on because you don't realize this, but we sat next to you for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, and we were very drunk. And I think we asked you for a picture, and I think we also harassed you being like, you're the dude who killed the Nazis. So we just want to see, do you remember us?
Check this out.
Oh, shit.
Is
that
a picture with us?
A picture of us?
Framed?
Oh, there it is. The stub.
Got it right there.
It's right there.
Yeah. Wait.
So you guys must have been seat 7 or 8 because I was 5 and 6 or something like that.
Yeah.
Wait, if you don't recognize this, maybe, do you recognize me?
I mean, it was a wild
Yeah.
We were right in front of you, actually.
No, we were behind. I have the picture.
Oh, we were?
We were behind you, right behind you.
I just tried to roast you by saying we had better seats, and it was an all-time backfire.
Yeah.
Congratulations on having better seats than us.
I found the tweet, too. I said at 11:09 p.m. on August 26th, I said, sitting next to the sniper dude from Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, we're big time now. Also, what's his name? So, yeah.
Hey, you know, I do the whatever you call it, the narration for Showtime for those fights. So that's how I was there.
Oh, oh shit! Cool. So we did have good seats.
I guess so. Yeah, wow. That's cool, man. Yeah. Right on. Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
Great to see you.
So that's what I recognized you from, because Saving Private Ryan was one of my favorite movies. One of the best war movies of all time. It's anytime you hear people talk about it, I know Big Cat went over to Normandy. I went over to Normandy also a couple years ago.
Wow.
Everybody over there always talks about Saving Private Ryan as being the most true to what actually happened of any of the other war movies. And I'm just curious, do people come up to you and they like recognize you from that movie? And do they thank you for your service ever? Do they ever think you're actually from the military?
It's interesting because I've done three pretty prominent war films, one with Clint Eastwood called Flags of Our Fathers, and then another one with Mel Gibson called We Were Soldiers. And so, yeah, people recognize you in the service community. And no, they don't assume that you're a service member, but there's a lot of respect that comes with it at both ways. So, you know, you do a lot of events, a lot of charity events, and you kind of immerse yourself in that community, not only through your research for the film, but then they welcome you into these events. And yeah, it's pretty cool. So you you really feel like you got a huge responsibility to try to get it right, because you're dealing with a lot of people's memories and their losses and their wounds. And so it's not something that you can just kind of, you know, it's not a Fast and Furious movie. You know what I mean? Like you have to take it quite seriously. You'd be sitting at dinner with some young woman with a full prosthetic arm, and it's such a trip, you know.
Yeah.
So you really want to make sure that you do it right. So how did you end up in Normandy?
So I went there on vacation, went over to Paris for a day, then took 2-day trip to Normandy, and then left town. But I always wanted to see that coast because
for that purpose.
My great uncle I think he was on Omaha actually. He got shot in his hip, but he never wanted to talk about it. When he got, my great uncle never wanted to discuss it after he came back. And so I never really got to talk to him that much about it, but it was fascinating to be there and to see where all that happened.
Yeah. That was sort of one of the highest honors, was people said, you know, it kind of spoke for them, sort of the people like your uncle. They didn't have to really articulate it. They could just sort of say to their nephew or their wife and, you know, yeah, that's sort of. This is sort of why I couldn't talk about it. It's like, it's a lot like that.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, your character, obviously, in Saving Private Ryan, all time character. And actually it's such a great character that I think that, at least personally, whenever I see you in a new movie, I'm like, I got to see it, because I loved him so much in Saving Private Ryan, including your new movie Trigger Point. So one last question about Saving Private Ryan. You probably get annoyed about it. It's been so long.
No, not at all.
How cool is Vin Diesel?
Yeah, he was a great guy. You know, it's interesting. When I first met him on Saving Private Ryan, we ended up doing another film after that called Knockaround Guys. But when I first met him, he was a director. And he was living in New York, you know, just sort of scratching his money together to make these independent films. And that's really was the path he was on. So it's great that he's had success with his Fast and the Furious franchise, but I would love to see him direct, you know, because he's a really intelligent filmmaker. But, you know, he's played that character of Dom for so long. You think of him that way, but that was really the origin of his career.
Yeah. He's got a pretty good gig going, though.
Yes.
Like, you cash some serious checks in that franchise.
Yes.
The Corona money. Nice.
He's not sitting with us at the Mayweather-McGregor fight. He's sitting all the way down ringside.
That's because he's also a little shorter.
He's
like my height.
People don't know. So I was reading up about your career. I mean, this is just crazy. You spent some of your childhood on a boat traveling the South Pacific Islands. Is that right?
Yeah, in the 70s, my parents built a 50-foot sailboat in their backyard from scratch, you know, a fiberglass sloop 50 feet long. And then they launched it. And so I was about 5 years old, 75, I guess. We launched and moved on board. And then we spent the next 5 years cruising it, and a few of those years through the South Pacific Islands. And then later in my 20s, actually before I did Private Ryan, my dad and I, we just the two of us, again, offshore, you know, to Hawaii and Alaska. And then he carried on through Southeast Asia. And I would just sort of fly, you know, whenever I could between films and see him, and whether he was in Thailand or Malaysia or whatever. And yeah, so he's definitely a seafarer. But it was an interesting way to grow up, you know, because he navigated us halfway around the world with just a sextant, you know, celestial navigation, the same way Columbus navigated, like no GPS, no electronics. It's just a miracle we survived.
Holy shit.
What did you guys do all day?
Yeah. You're underrating this, by the way. Yeah. You're like very casual about this.
You know, and I think somebody asked me that about, like, how did I get into this? I'm in, and I think it was those formative years, you know, like no, all imagination games. We didn't have TV. We didn't really have radio, you know, a little bit of classic rock or whatever. But, you know, it was all imagination games, you know, because you're on this 50 foot by 14 foot wide sailboat. Sometimes, you know, crossing between nations would be 3 weeks at sea without seeing horizon, you know, just, and then you'd get smoked by some big white squall and everything would get wiped off the deck of the boat, and everybody be crying and freaking out, and yeah, it's some pretty wild times at sea. And so, you know, you kind of live in your imagination as a child. I was just 5 through 10 years old. And then my two older brothers really heightened my imagination skills.
Seriously. So wait, what happened when you came back when you were like 10? Did you just go to school and you're like, hey, I've just been out at sea for the last 5 years. What's up, guys? I'm Barry.
Yeah. Well, we've been homeschooled for all those years too. And which was pretty cool. Like, you'd get your homework done and then you just dive off the boat and go, you know, scuba diving or spearfishing. Or not scuba, but snorkeling or spearfishing, or go climb a coconut tree. And it was kind of like, a little bit of like a Swiss Family Robinson upbringing, because of course we're in the tropics and we weren't a well-off family, so we didn't go to the, you know, the expensive fancy ports and yacht island groups, kind of like the places where they shot Survivor. That was sort of where we ended up, on the small atolls and islands where the local people lived, and you could kind of just live on a dime.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Going to school on a boat that size, is it difficult to write on a boat?
Well, we would eventually get to harbor and you'd anchor and you'd be in a protected, you know, atoll or somewhere. And so it'd be calm, but at sea, it was very, very difficult, because you'd be like this. Sailing, you know, you're sailing from, say, Hawaii to the Marquesas or Fiji or Tonga or New Zealand or wherever you might be sailing. And sometimes those crossings, like I say, would be, so you go, you know, you go a little bit stir crazy.
Yeah, so then you come back to land, and then I would imagine it might be difficult to make friends after having that have been such a formative experience in your life. But I did read that you were a really good athlete in high school. I'm wondering if that kind of helped you bridge the gap and kind of introduce you to people.
Yeah, my dad and my eldest brother and I, we all played on the same baseball team growing up. So that was pretty cool. You know, it was always sort of a family thing. We were always doing sports together. So, yeah, my dad was a lumberjack. He was a faller. He like fell trees for a living up on the Pacific Northwest. So I guess he kind of passed on that to us, to not let anybody mess with us. And so it was always sports and, you know, boxing or whatever. And, no, we didn't have any trouble integrating, but it was more just that lack of freedom, or that loss of freedom, right? Like I say, finish your schoolwork and then just go and cruise up through the jungle, or, you know, dive into the ocean and play all day in the tropics.
Yeah, it says that you played fastball on your Wikipedia page. I didn't know if that was like a Canadian term for baseball or if that was accurate.
Yeah, in Canada it's called baseball, but it's usually like a men's beer league, you know, would be like a fast. Mel?
Got it, yeah, like fast pitch.
Yeah,
fast pitch. Okay, yeah, we played a lot of that growing up, because there wasn't a lot of baseball and there wasn't a lot of football. In Canada, growing up in Canada was mostly rugby and fast pitch, and until you graduated into a a higher level.
Yeah,
my brother played AAA ball, but we were in rural small towns, so it was like rugby was popular because all you needed was a mouth guard.
Yeah,
didn't have to buy all the expensive gear.
You're the Canadian Dos Equis guy.
You just dropped that your brother played AAA ball. Like that's not nothing. AAA ball is there. Yeah. It's pretty damn hard to play AAA ball.
It was because of him. In fact, this is my 40 year old Yankees cap that I inherited from him when I was just 10 years old. And, so I became a Yankees fan because he was a Yankees fan. And then I ended up doing a film with Billy Crystal called 61 years later, where I played Roger Maris. So that was kind of a neat evolution, growing up idolizing my older brother who was this Yankees fan, and then getting to play Roger, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was a great movie. What's your favorite role that you've played, or the role that you like? If someone said to you at the end of your career, you want to be remembered for this role or that role, is there a specific one that sticks out to you?
Yes, it's interesting because I'm a character actor, right? And I'm a journeyman actor. I'm not A-list. I get a lot of good supporting characters. So it's been really diverse, like I really enjoyed playing Lucky Ned Pepper in True Grit. And if I could, do a Western series, I'd love to do a Western series. You can't play Jackson forever. You can't be the sniper. And that's what ended up happening after Saving Private Ryan, is you kind of get slotted into, everybody wants you to play the psychopath, the next sniper, the next, that guy. And so I was trying to, find diversity and ended up really, being able to slip into these different character roles. For me, that's what's been really cool, is that I can disappear into those roles because I'm not overexposed as an actor. People go like, I didn't even know you were in that, and that's kind of a compliment. So it's challenging for me, like, to say, was playing Robert Kennedy better than playing Lucky Ned Pepper? I mean, it's just so different,
right?
And I think that's kind of the fun of being a character actor. But so, sorry, I really, it'd be hard to choose.
That's an interesting answer, though, because it's a lot of times someone who has a career where they've done a bunch of different things and been like, maybe not the lead role in all these movies, they might say like, oh, I should have had more leads. Like, but it's interesting to have that perspective of like, people don't even realize I'm in something, which is almost a compliment because that means you did such a great job at it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm certainly not making the bank that Vin is making in the Fast and the Furious type series. And that's an awesome franchise that he's built. But it's just a different career path. He's done really well with that. And, but I really kind of enjoy the diversity of the different roles I get. And I also like to live really rural. I live in the country. I'm a dual citizen, but I have a home in Canada and I like to spend a fair bit of time up here. I hunt and fish and have a big garden and an orchard, and we kind of live rural, And so it's kind of tricky to have one foot in and one foot out, and in terms of a career, then there's a flip side to that, right?
Yeah.
You get your anonymity and your freedom, and you get to live the life the way you want, and you get to raise your kids, but you're also not going to get the best roles,
right?
You gotta find your balance with it.
It sounds like a great balance, though. It sounds like what you have right now is what a lot of people are chasing when they go after the big roles, when they want to be the A-list guy. They just want happiness and like a little bit of peace and financial security. It sounds like that's what you've got, which is awesome for you. You brought up the term character actor, and I wanted to ask you about that because, just kind of talk to me like we're, 4 or 5 years old, and maybe you can explain a little bit better. What is the difference between being a character actor and just being a really good actor? Like, in other words, why don't they give like lead roles to the character guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is your personality too, right? If you're happy to do all the talk shows and you're really willing to be a celebrity and show your personality and always sort of be available, then people get to know you as sort of their friend and neighbor. And it's challenging for us as viewers to escape with them. You're like, oh, that's so-and-so, but he's just wearing a mustache because he's a celebrity. And yeah. It's really hard for them not to break the fourth wall of anonymity to your life. You can disappear because people are like, what's that guy's name again? And he played that. And you know, it's like somebody I really respect is Harrison Ford, but he's not a character actor. He always plays Harrison Ford, or Tom Cruise. He always plays Tom Cruise. Whereas Tom Hanks has that sort of ability to chameleonize a bit, but he's become Tom Hanks so much to the point where it's really challenging for him now because, you know, he can't escape like he used to.
Right.
Into the, you know, we still love him and we still, you know, watch every movie he's in, but it's like you're not really asking Harrison Ford to do anything other than be Harrison Ford in every, I guess that, I don't know if that's a convoluted way of explaining
it's actually a great answer.
If you're really overexposed, then it's really challenging to disappear. And so it's a fine line.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I hadn't thought of it from the perspective of somebody doing all the publicity and then connecting with someone, people outside of their movies, making it kind of like a challenge to do that.
And I'm not trying to bullshit you guys. Like, I mean, there's obviously a certain freedom, financial freedom and life that comes with being a celebrity. And it's just that there is a trade-off, you know, like, would I be disappointed if I was doing a big franchise that exploded and, you know, well, that would be nice financial freedom, but you certainly trade your anonymity and your freedom instantly. So it is what it is. And you know what? I don't know that I really tried to design it at all, other than the fact that I wanted to just live where I live and do what I do and not chase it very hard. And if good roles come my way, then great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating career and I think you do have an unbelievable perspective. I would imagine this is why you're also just not on social media too, which that has to be, I would guess that growing up on a boat and then having the career you have, you probably think the internet is pretty foolish, which I agree with you, but I'm addicted to it.
I know. You know, I think I'm just not very disciplined. I think it's such a dumpster fire. It would suck me right. Then I'd be axed, you know, and I just know myself. I just would get too political. Things would upset me and I would say stupid shit. And so, yeah, I think it's just better. And two, I'm 51, so I grew up without all of that. And so it's actually challenging for me to feed it. I'm not good at, I would just like the managers and the agents and whatever, they tell you, well, you have to tend to this garden, you know, like you gotta feed that thing. Mm-hmm. And I just like, I'm never going to do that. I'll be out working on my motorcycles or hunting or fishing or whatever, like just living a life. I don't really want to be like, here's me living a life, you know?
I'm going to say it right now. I think you might have the best perspective of any guest we've ever had on this show. You're just a cool guy.
I think you're very chill.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Chill Barry.
Yeah.
Barry's a great name.
And we know each other. And we've met before.
And we've met before. Right. Exactly. We hung out sort of at the Mayweather. Were you drunk for that? As drunk as us? We were pretty drunk.
I can't remember, honestly. I try not to at those events because, like I say, kind of like I worked that event,
right?
So the Showtime just hands me some tickets. I didn't choose those seats, but so I usually go to the, I got to do press beforehand and then I got to go to these parties and shit and talk, you know, to all the producers. And so I generally try, but yeah, I might have had a few tipples.
All right, we drank more than enough for you that night. We don't even remember the fight. We were so drunk, we thought McGregor had a real shot at winning. We walked out being like, I think he almost won that fight.
Yeah, you know, but what's interesting though is like what I was arguing as I was in there is like, this is boxing, man. What I always feel like, and I love MMA, I love UFC. I'm embarrassed to say I'm kind of curious about this Askren fight. I just hope that he kicks, you know, that kid's ass. But but I always feel like, well, they, you know, Mayweather or Jake Paul or whatever his name is should really honor their sport too. They talk such a big game, but they would never go into the octagon.
Right.
And to me, that like for that Mayweather McGregor fight, I kind of felt like, well, this is sort of a fight. It's not really. In McGregor's domain, he would have absolutely torn a Mayweather apart.
Right.
And so it's kind of interesting. I guess that's why I put much more credence and respect to what McGregor did than what Mayweather did.
Agreed. Agreed.
And
it was the show too. You know, it was a spectacle.
Yes, the show.
I think everybody went into it rooting for, or a lot of people were rooting for an upset. And also just the song that Conor McGregor had that his fans were singing. That's what made us.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more, it was half that we were drunk and then half that we wanted to just be able to sing that song in the event that he won. That made us put money on McGregor. But yeah, it was a fun fight. Had a great time at it.
Such a gladiatorial feel when that Sinead O'Connor pipes start. And that was just amazing.
Yeah. I noticed that you brought out the New York Yankees hat earlier. You're a Yankees fan. And you played Roger Maris. Do you think that Roger Maris is the home run king still?
I do. You know, it's funny. Billy Crystal and Thomas Jane and I, we just did this sort of Zoom reunion for some show and recently, because it was 20 year anniversary. And I was kind of saying that asterisk to me sort of represents, you know, the real deal,
right?
You know, what it originally was intended for. But yeah, in a way, it's sort of that asterisk represents like the real home run king in my estimation. I mean, I think it's widely understood now. In fact, McGuire called Roger Maris's widow, Pat, who is still alive, living in Fargo. She lives in Florida. But anyway, he called her and apologized to her for the shame that he brought to that record and breaking Roger's record and it being so well known that he was juiced the whole time and that it really wasn't a genuine record. And I thought that was quite honorable of him, actually. He broke down in tears, apparently, on the phone call and was for him to declare that to her. But the whole family was quite impressed that he would make that phone call.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, whatever. I don't care. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I don't know how you'd ever separate it all. I mean, there's so many different eras of baseball where the ball's been juiced, the bats, the, you know, and things change. Like, look at Roger and Mickey. They were smoking and drinking in the dugout, you know, making $36,000 a year back then.
It's crazy.
So it's so different. And they didn't even really work out. They were just farm boys. You know, they'd be working on the farm in the off season and then go play baseball because they, you know, they didn't make enough money to raise their families on
that. Yeah, it's crazy. We've had George Brett on the show a couple times and he's admitted like he didn't really work out in the off season. Like he would go for runs and stuff, but like the actual weight training and all this stuff, it didn't really exist in his career. And it's just incredible to think about how incredible athletically these guys were with like not having it be their full-time job, where you see athletes now and all they do is train and they have nutritionists and everything. So, yeah, I agree with you. Roger Maris, like the asterisk, it's almost been reversed now. He gets the asterisk on everyone else, and that's the real home run king.
Yeah, you wonder, you know, how maybe a Muhammad Ali would fare against Tyson Fury or whoever. Like, it's so interesting to take those eras, and it's almost like a moot conversation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
What about Barry Bonds, though?
Barry Bonds is the best baseball player of all time.
Is there any Barry to Barry mutual respect
there? Yeah.
I don't know anything about him, man. No.
All right. Well, maybe you'll get the Barry Bonds movie. That would be the
there you go.
73 asterisk. You could be Jeff Kent.
You know,
yeah, you could be Jeff Kent. Yeah. That would be great.
I'd probably have to, you know, gain a few inches.
Well, Barry, this has been awesome, man. We really appreciate it. Yeah, everyone go. Yeah, everyone go watch Trigger Point. I'm gonna watch it. It's out April 16th on demand and in theaters. And next time, if you're ever in New York City, we'd love to do it in person because we hate.
Yeah, me too.
The Zoom stuff sucks. It's you know, at some point, it's frustrating because you're an interesting dude.
Right on, you guys too. Thank you so much, and really nice to see you again.
Yes,
all the best.
Take care.
Right on. We love it.
Barry Pepper was brought to you by our great friends over at Liquid IV. When you push your body hard or if you just feel run down, it's extremely important to stay hydrated. You got to make hydration a priority. It helps us feel healthier on a day-to-day basis. With just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water, you get 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as just plain water. I love Liquid IV. If you put it into a glass of water, it makes you want to drink more water. That should be everybody's resolution. Just drink more water. You'll feel better. If you're more hydrated, you feel like you're more present. You have more energy. Plus, with Liquid IV, they give you 5 essential vitamins. You get more vitamin C than an orange. You get as much potassium as a banana. It's healthier than sugary sports drinks. No artificial flavors, no preservatives. Less sugar than an apple. It's made with clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan. It's free of gluten, dairy, and soy. What makes it so effective? Cellular transport technology, CTT. The optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivers water and nutrients right into the bloodstream. It's the perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water can give as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of just plain water. The company is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, active military. Liquid IV has donated over 10 million servings globally. You can grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off. Just go to liquidiv.com and use promo code TAKE at checkout. It's $25 off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TAKE at liquidiv.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Now here he is, Will Zalatoris.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Will Zalatoris. You saw him in Augusta, finished second, and we just met on Zoom, and I said you beat the odds, and what I mean by that is you lost me money on Sunday, but I still wanted you on because I was riding the Z train all weekend, and it was a fucking thrilling ride, so congrats on that. Usually if someone loses us a bet, we like swear them off forever, but you survived that.
I've had like 150 Venmo requests for like way to lose by one asshole or something like that. It's been so funny. I've been laughing because I've seen like $110 or something like that. I'm like, unbelievable.
Well, you can afford it now.
Yeah.
Has the direct deposit hit yet?
I gotta be honest, I have not looked.
Oh, that's insane. I would just be refreshing over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually really surprised I've made it this far, but yeah.
Look right now.
You want me to look?
Yes, yeah, look absolutely. Right now. Hell yeah.
All right. I'll look for you.
When we had Max amazing. On Homa, it was right after his hit for his win.
Yeah.
And he was pretty pumped about it.
Just lighting $100 bills on fire.
Not yet.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's okay. That's okay. We can recover from this. So,
I like that mentality, though.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I like the fact you're like, fuck it. It'll be in there when it's in there.
They're hungry.
They're good for it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
So I was reading up about it. You finished second in the Masters. You won $1.2 million. You're now like, you know, an established, I think, top 30 or something. And yet you still don't have your PGA card? How the hell does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but I mean, it is what it is. Like, I can't get frustrated about it because it's not like they're going to change it. But, you know, I have to win to get in the FedEx Cup playoffs. But I've already got my card locked up for next year. And I'm into the majors for the next, I guess, until the Masters of next year. So in a weird way, I'm kind of playing with house money. Like, every week finishing second means as much as finishing 20th. I mean, granted, there's a little bit of a prize money difference, but like it doesn't change. Like I have to go out and win. And you know, the reality is like those guys that have come out hot, they've always won. And so you've got the Colin Morikawas, the Victor Hovlands, Matt Wolf, you know, those guys have come out and they've won. So they've been, you know, members immediately, even though they started the year with no status. Well, for me, coming from the Corn Ferry Tour, it's just a little bit different. And I'm, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. We'll get that first win.
It's just crazy that you won all that money. You finished second. You were like everyone, you know, I'm not going to say household name, but you kind of were after this weekend. And you technically, if you don't win, you don't get to play in the playoff, even though you'd be top 15.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So I think someone said to me today that I think if I was on the list, I would have been 13th or something like that on the FedEx Cup list. But I mean, jobs to go out and go win a golf tournament. I know it's like I'm kind of looking at it a little more stoic than I should, I guess, but you know, getting mad is not going to solve any problems. So it is what it is. And I'm in a really weird spot. Like, I don't think there's really been anyone in this spot maybe ever.
Okay. So. Yeah. I got a solution for you. And this is part of the reason why we wanted to have you on. So we wanted to offer an invitation. We talked to Max Homa and Brooks Koepka as an official golfer that Pardon My Take roots for. Now, we're not golf guys. So it's a very select group. But what you just described is exactly what we do as a podcast. We will get mad at the PGA for you. You can be stoic and we can be bitter and like petty
attack dogs.
All for a small nominal fee of all future winnings. Do you accept?
It's non-negotiable, right?
Non-negotiable. Nope. Max and Brooks are in.
Unless you have a counteroffer.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if it's non-negotiable, then yeah, I'm in.
All right. Okay. Perfect.
That's amazing. Tell you what, just give us your banking password. We'll check for you. So you don't have to spend all this time refreshing that screen like you've been doing nonstop.
Yes.
We'll let you know when it goes in. I'm interested to hear what your mentality was going into the weekend, like how confident you were. I'll put it this way. When you booked your stay, did you book it through Friday or did you book it through Sunday night?
Monday, actually.
Whoa. Okay.
Just knowing Monday because of the weather, for one, because we were going to have a lot of weather. But I was, you know, I don't mean to minimize the moment, because when I stood on the first tee, I was talking to my caddy. And it's like, look, I've wanted to be in this situation my whole life. Final group of the Masters, like everything that I've ever wanted. And I thought that weight would have made me more nervous. And I kind of told my caddy, I was like, I thought that I was going to have like next level, like nervousness. And I didn't have that. It was kind of I just had an attitude of like, the hell with it. Like we're here. Kind of what my caddy Ryan told me is like, you know, he's a military buff and he's like, weapons free, boys. I mean,
yes.
we're going, like, this is it. I mean, so we just, that whole weekend, it's like, hey, finishing second means as much as finishing third, fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. Like, you know, we're out here to go win a green jacket. Let's go get it.
And yeah. I saw the quote. You said that you told your family, like, if I'm stupid enough to think I can play here, then I'm stupid enough to think I can win it. And that's,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the perfect, that's why you fit perfectly with this podcast. The whole, like, ethos is, we're just dumb enough to think we can be successful. Like we don't actually realize we shouldn't be.
Yeah. I mean, the whole quote was really from over the last year. We've had so much going on between COVID and whatnot. Like if COVID didn't happen, I wouldn't have even tried to qualify for the US Open, but then I was given a spot anyway, and the US Open moves to September. So I'm able to play I wasn't even to try to qualify. So I'm even given a spot. It's in a time that fits, because I was going to try to put all my focus on the Corn Ferry Tour to get to the PGA Tour. End up finishing sixth in the US Open, finish eighth the next week, turn that into special temporary status, work my way up the world rankings, and it gets me into the Masters. I'm in the final group on Saturday. So that's what I mean. It's like, this is so stupid. It's insane.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So that's why that was kind of like, you know, if someone told me I was going to play in the Masters, let alone be in the final group on a Saturday 6 months ago, I would have thought you were high.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the Monday checkout is,
I like it.
I mean, like Max, you know, who's also now a brother in arms for you, because he's part of the group. I think he did early checkout on Friday. I think he was like, I'll be out of here by 11 a.m.
So you said that
oh my God.
you were dumb enough to think that you could win the whole thing. Let's see how dumb you are. What will your champions dinner be when you do win the Masters?
Oh God, I haven't even gotten that far.
Nope.
It's going to be, oh man, probably something like, God, I hate just going like full, just big old fat piece of meat. Yep. Like, you know, just, I live in Dallas. We got steak places everywhere. Just give me a big old honking piece of meat, some baked potato, and I don't know, get the veggies for some of the guys who eat clean.
What do you think about maybe pigs in a blanket? Big Cat really wanted you to say pigs in a blanket.
I did see that. That was a sick idea.
Yes.
I was jealous of that. That's why I need to think about it. You need to come up with something original. Like pigs in a blanket, never been at that dinner. I'm sure there's guys that are sitting there and they're like, what is this? Like, is it a hot dog? Like, what am I eating?
Right.
Like,
Right.
Yeah. So I'm all, yeah, I'll need to think of something creative if that, I got to win the damn thing first, but then I'll have a year to think about it.
Well, here's something creative. If you want to do a big piece of meat, we'll just have it be big piece of meat and our intern Billy cooks it. And it's just the worst piece of meat ever. So it's like that's the mat just offends everyone at Augusta forever. And it's like special. It says on the menu, like specially cooked by a man who does not know how to cook meat in Billy football.
Oh, my God. And everybody, I was just going to say,
everyone gets E. coli the next day because Billy didn't cook it correctly.
Yes, yes.
I love the line that you guys used when you were talking about me on the recap with the he looks like Billy if he didn't play sports. He did TikTok instead or whatever.
Yes.
That was amazing.
How much do you weigh? We could say this because we're friends. Yeah.
Yeah. No, honest to God, 165.
Do you think you can put a little weight on that frame?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a yo-yo. That's the part that's so funny is like I've been up to 180, and I go down to like 155.
Ooh.
And so the last like year, I've been kind of in this weird like 160, 165 spot. But I think probably this offseason I'll do a little bit of bulking up. Not Bryson level by any means, but no. The main reason is just because it's like if I'm going to play 30 weeks out here, like I got to have some reserves. Like it's one thing to do it in January through April, but you know when it comes to September and it's just like all systems go going after a FedEx Cup, like I got to have some reserves.
Yeah,
I think what we do is we make like a documentary, like Bryson did his own at home documentary about how he put on whatever 60 pounds. We just make it your goal to get up to 180 pounds. The quest for 180. And then all you do is you just eat a big Texas cinnamon roll every single day. One a day until you hit 180, and then I think you're good. I think then you avoid all the skinny jokes out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, y'all are hired as nutritionists.
Okay. Sure. Okay. That's a dangerous thing to do.
We've got our plate.
Yeah. Have you seen us? Like, that's – okay. No, you know what? I will take that job. We will take that job. That's absolutely great.
How much do you bench?
God, all these golf workouts, we don't, like, grab an actual bench. It's always, like, one-handed – like isometric stuff. So I probably haven't benched probably since college, but yeah, I don't even know. I'm like, I probably look like Kevin Durant in the combine where they gave him the 225 and went straight to his chest and they had to pick it back up.
Yes. That's okay. That's okay. So the reason I started to bet on you was Jim Nance was talking about how much Tony Romo loves you and he's golfed with you a bunch. And, like, Will's going to be a stud. And I'm so sick of Tony Romo being right while I'm wrong. So I was like, all right, I'm going to bet on him. Turns out Tony Romo was not right this time. Whatever, that's beside the point. But you do golf a lot with Tony Romo, correct? Like, is he as good as everyone says he is?
Yeah, we kind of over the last 2 to probably 3 years, we've played a lot of golf. Like, when we had our COVID 4-month break, we played 5 days a week. I mean, some weeks it was like literally 2 weeks straight, just a standing game every single day. And, you know, I'll pay the guy a compliment, even though it tastes like vinegar coming out of my mouth, because our little money matches are, you know, they're death matches. I mean, we're trying to absolutely beat each other's brains in, but the guy works at it. He's taught me, I mean, he's, taught me a lot about how he went about playing football. And there's a lot of stuff that kind of goes back to golf. And there's some questions that he asks that I don't even know the answer to. Like, they're so out there. The guy just eats, breathes golf. I mean, he's sending me swing videos at 11:30 some nights of him just hitting balls in his, you know, bare feet. And he goes, "Well, what do you think about this move? Because Hogan did it." I'm like, "Dude, go to bed." like, if I'm not up practicing right now, I think you're good. Like, just go to sleep.
Yeah.
But he's just, I mean, that's the thing is, like, he can be as good as he wants to be. I think the next step for him is just going to be learning kind of like how to play the game. The guy is a genius when it comes to the mechanics. Like, he understands people's golf swings better than I even think some coaches do with their students, just because he sits there and he studies them nonstop. But it's like, if I stick him behind a tree and it's like, okay, safe par from here, that's what we got to work on. So,
okay. That's good.
He'll get there.
Yeah.
He'll get there.
I mean, it speaks to his mentality. That's kind of what made him a successful quarterback, was having that drive to be like, okay, I'm going to work at night when everybody else isn't. And even though I'm, a kid from a small school, I might get to be the starting quarterback at the Cowboys. Does he talk to the ball when it's in the air, or when he's putting and it's rolling in? Is he like, I don't know?
No, but he does with everybody else, though. He's a guy that it's probably the – it's so funny because it's like we'll be playing a game against each other and he'll be like, "How far do you have? What'd you hit? How'd you hit it? How far do you think you carried that?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Just hit a shot. You're probably going to not get it inside of me, and let's just move on." Okay. Like, just, he always asks like the nonstop questions. And it's like, finally, when he's on my team, he's like the greatest teammate ever. But it's like, when you're playing against him, he's like, "What'd you hit? How far? Where's the wind going?" I'm like, "Oh my God." Like,
that's funny. So, yeah. He's trying to find that edge. I mean, everyone says he's a really, really good golfer. It'd be crazy if he went to the PGA Tour. I don't know what is that difference? Because he's obviously very good. He probably beat you some days, but is it really like that much more of a mountain that he has to climb to get to that level?
So his good days are totally good enough to play at tour level. It's just the bad is just where he's got to fix it. And, I think he's a great chipper and putter. He's a pretty good iron player. For him, it's just getting off the tee. And the days when he drives it well, I give him 3 shots a side in our game, so he gets 6 shots total. And if he drives it well, it's going to be really hard for me to beat him. I mean, that's the thing about him is, like, just because he's not the greatest driver, and he'll figure it out. Like, the guy, like I said, he just nonstop. He hits golf balls just every day. It's like, if the family dinner's at 6, he's like, "Oh, that means I can leave at 6. It's like, dude, go home, get out of here, come back tomorrow. Like, you've been hitting balls for 8 hours today. Mm-hmm. But the big thing with him is that when he drives it well, he's going to make like 5 or 6 birdies. And that means I'm going to have to go out and shoot like 63 or 4 to beat him. And he's capable of doing it. But it's just the days where it's like, start missing fairways and, all of a sudden makes 2 or 3 birdies instead, shoots 75 or 6. And that's just the difference. But that he'll get there. That's the thing is, like, the guy just loves it. I mean, he even said it about football. It's an unhealthy obsession.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I believe it.
So were you able to see the Adam Sandler tweet at you before you teed off on Sunday? Did you know that he was out there watching you?
No. So I didn't see it till Sunday night. And I've gotten that comparison probably since I was like 17. Mm-hmm. I qualified for an event in L.A. or the L.A. Open. And Golf Channel posted a picture of me, and I had long hair back then too. And they're like, "Oh my God, this guy's, Sandler or Happy Gilmore's caddy's playing in the PGA Tour now. Like, who the hell is this kid?" And then I finally let the hair grow back out during COVID. And of course, it's just like nonstop now with, more publicity with Owen Wilson, Happy Gilmore. Butch Harmon said I look like a 1-iron without a grip on it. I mean, it's like, so I love it. I think it's so funny.
I think there are worse comparisons that you could have.
Yeah.
Like, they could call you Post Malone or Kid Rock all the time, and that would suck if that happened to you. But I do think you look more like Billy. I think you're like vegan Billy Football.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's also refreshing because a lot of times, not even just golf, every sport, you know, athletes take themselves very seriously. So to have fun with it shows, like, that's what we're looking for in a team member in this crew. I saw – congrats on getting verified. I saw when you – like, on Saturday, I think you had 3,000 Twitter followers. Now you have 60,000 plus. So that's kind of cool. Has it been just a whirlwind? I mean, I'd imagine it's got to be a little – you had the U.S. Open, but this was the Masters, and it was, you know – one, you know, finishing second, it has to be a little bit crazy in your head, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, the part that's been funny to me is, like, you know, everything's still fresh. And so, you know, I go to Whole Foods to go pick up some, you know, water and whatnot. And all of a sudden this guy's like, oh my God, love watching you. Can I get a picture? And I'm like, dude, I finished second. Like, I didn't win.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm like, you know, it's great. I mean, it's obviously, you know, being the underdog, I think, is what a lot of people really loved. And I felt it on Sunday, too. But I don't think it'll – I mean, it's not really been a whirlwind, but I think it'll kind of kick in when I go back home and just kind of see all the boys and whatnot and kind of try to go back to a little more normality. And all of a sudden it's like, no, this is different.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, now you have the protection of us.
Do you have any enemies?
Yeah, we need to know that.
I'm still a rookie, man. Okay. I haven't had enough time to make any enemies out here.
Well, just in general, like, what's your least favorite airline or just anything that you don't like? I need to know something that you hate so I can also start to hate it.
Oh God, I gotta think about this. Oh, wow. The fact you mentioned airline, thinking this through, when my bag's 52 pounds and they want to charge me $100.
Yeah.
That to me, that's like all time irk.
You should, I mean, in that situation, this is good that you're on so we can help you problem solve this. You could simply say to them, hey guys, like, my bag plus me is not even a real, like, grown man. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. I've probably saved $1,000 for some of the airlines from kind of sticking my foot underneath the bag a little bit and kind of lifting it up when it's on the scale. So,
but it does balance out. Like, you could be 50 pounds heavier.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It'd be like that Ocean's 12 character when they fit him in the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened.
Yeah. Like, you could just point to a guy like me standing there with a huge bag and a fat belly. And you're like, that guy's like 350 pounds on the plane. And you're getting on me, and I'm like 185 combined. No enemies. That's good. So basically what we're going to do is, now that you're part of the crew, I don't think we're even going to open it to anyone else because, again, we're not big golf guys, but we're big root for our guys.
The only other guy that I could see us letting into the club is the guy that just vapes all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Kiradak off in Bonra.
Yeah, yes. Open invite to that guy who's just always blowing clouds on the golf course. That guy's fucking awesome.
Did you guys ever see the podcast that he did when he talked about his apartment for his shoes?
No.
Yeah, he's got like $100,000 worth of Yeezys or something like that, right?
Yeah, he's got a – so I don't remember exactly what the number is, but I know that he had an apartment for his shoes, and I think his wife found out about the apartment, and she's like, what the hell is this? And he like showed it to her, and he was like, she's like, really? Like, I mean, this is it? Like, it's so, I can't remember what podcast that was, but that was really funny.
Yeah. He's invited. Otherwise it's just the three of you guys. We need a good, we need a good group nickname for you too. So
yes.
I don't know. We're tossing around a couple of those,
but we'll figure out a nickname. But yeah, it's essentially we are, and you just got to know that, like, we're going to root for Brooks number one, 'cause he's the OG. Max, whenever, you know, I don't know, is he competes, so we'll root for him.
Big Cat loves kind of slandering Max.
Well, because he
costs Big Cat money.
No,
that's,
well, also he can
back.
Take it because he's the Twitter roast guy.
That's
so
right.
So it's actually lovingly, like, I know Max can handle a good joke. Max is very good. Although, are you ahead of him in the rankings now?
I don't know. Actually, I really don't know.
Oh, shit.
I mean, the guy's won twice.
Yeah,
but so. You got second, which in U.S. rugby terms, you're above him.
No, so Max is number two. And then you'll be three. So essentially, if Brooks and Max can't win, we want you to win every single tournament. Without a doubt, we'll be tweeting about it. We'll be having your back. Anyone who comes at us, we'll fight them online. This is all online, by the way. Just so you know.
Once it crosses over, then that's your bulkier brother, Billy's department.
Yeah. Billy will fight physically if he needs to, but it's pretty much just defending your honor. And, you know, like, here's a little tip for you. there will be the better you get, the more acclaim you get, there will be people who will hate you, and we will take care of them. We will tell them.
I love it.
And we'll spin zone the hell out of it. So, like, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see Brooks on Thursday and Friday?
No, I didn't, but I saw that he saw his comments, put it that way, well, how he played.
Gutted it out.
And he was a hero. Next time you see him, I'd appreciate if you saluted him for everything he's done for us in the game of golf.
I do that anyway just because he's so much bigger than me.
Oh, I've got actually a golf-related question about Augusta, about the course, because mm-hmm. we respect that course a lot, and everyone always talks about how, you know, undulated the greens are the local knowledge, as Scott Van Pelt put mm-hmm. it on Monday. Had you played it before at all?
Just once.
So when you're hitting shots and the ball is landing, were there any shots on Saturday or Sunday where you thought that you were absolutely fucked, where you got a great kick from the Augusta gods, where you're like, I didn't know that mound was there, but it helped me out?
I had on, what was it? I think it was, first one that comes to mind is definitely Sunday. Well, actually, first day, number 15. The greens obviously were baked out like crazy. They were just so firm, and you had to be so precise, and the pin's on the front right corner on that par five. And I had like 195 in, so, and I'm a little bit downwind, and everyone's just landing the ball in the front section of the green. It's just taking one 25 foot hop going over the back, and then they're chipping it basically straight downhill with water behind them. And I think one of the guys playing actually putted one in the water from like 25 feet. But I landed one in basically a 10-inch section of fringe that was right by a sprinkler head. And so it was just a hair softer. And it lands, just basically plops left, catches the fringe, rolls down the hill, goes like 8 feet, and I make eagle. Mm. And it's like, if that thing literally lands on the green, it is 30 yards past that hole.
That's crazy. That's
so that's like a 1.5, maybe probably 1.5, almost 2-shot swing right there.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So
the Augusta guy. Did you bow to the course afterwards?
You should have.
Yeah, he's the OG on that one. He's got me there.
Yeah. That was cool. Yeah. That was a very cool move. What are you golfing? Yeah. Are you golfing in a tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I'm at Hilton Head. I'm gonna play Hilton Head, and I got a couple weeks off.
Okay. So is that way is Hilton yeah. Head
it, it's not no don't play in the Puerto Rico Open.
Yeah, don't play in the Puerto Rico Open.
If you win that, you're fucked.
Yeah, that's actually true. That's true.
Yeah, thankfully, I think it's an opposite field of it, so I'll be in one of the WGCs.
And then wait, is Hilton Head, is this a PGA event?
Yeah, I'm teeing off tomorrow. I got Brooks. I got Dustin Johnson and Billy Horschel. So much for going off last of each wave and bringing in the flagsticks for everybody. And, you know,
yeah,
putting me at the back of the pack. It's a little different now.
Okay. Jesus,
well, I guess we're rooting for you this weekend.
Yeah, we're big time rooting for you. Is Max in this? I gotta start being nice to Max.
We love Max.
Do love Max, and I know he can take it. That's why I say these things. But I gotta start being nicer to him. I don't see him there. All right, you know what? He's probably just resting up for the next one that he's gonna win. All right. Well, this has been awesome. We thank you. We appreciate you coming on. Oh, one last rule. If you ever win a tournament, you have to come on that Sunday night.
That Sunday night.
Yeah.
We'll make that happen.
Well, actually, no. Yeah, you could. Yeah, that Sunday night. Yeah, you know, 10, 15 minutes. Actually, yeah, Brooks called us from, I think, the bar after he won the U.S. Open. So, yeah, yes, that Sunday night.
Yeah, you have if to Brooks win. Is going to call you after winning the U.S. Open, hell yeah. Count me in. Well, a few beers. We'll talk everything over. How about that?
Yeah, perfect. You just have to do a quick favor. Tell you what, if we can lock that in and guarantee it, we'll give you back 5% of your career earnings from this point forward. So we only keep 95.
Mm-hmm.
Deal?
Perfect. Yeah, I'm all in on that. I'm glad the non-negotiable got taken off the table there. Appreciate that.
You just got power shifted. Yeah,
boom. We just power shifted you. Oh, man. All right, well, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. Yeah. We'll be rooting. I don't think Brooks or Max are playing, so you're our guy.
I love it. Thanks, boys. Really appreciate it.
Very happy for you.
Thanks, man.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
All right, let's wrap up. We got Fyre Fest of the week. Hank, Grandpa, update?
I have not been back to the dog park.
Okay, no. There's the update.
So Normie's getting fat.
No, we're just going long walks.
Well, he's thick and fat.
Is he a pog?
And long.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's just a pog.
Yeah, he's not fat at all. If he was fat, he wouldn't even be able to walk because his stomach would be on the ground. I have a couple Fyre Fests.
Someone else dragging on the ground.
Well, one is about Normie. Rhea, my girlfriend, she posted like a TikTok about her dog being cute or whatever, and someone was like, all right, you know, let's see the dog. So she posted a TikTok with like cute pictures of Norman. And the comments just absolutely, dude. As I felt like, you know, Big Cat, dude. I hope your kid never gets bullied. I hope he never comes home and is like, look at all these people said mean things about me. As a father, I felt so bad. It broke my heart. Just people saying the meanest things.
Do you have an ugly dog?
People saying he looks like right. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. Steve Buscemi's actually good looking.
And that dog looks like a collection of genetic errors was the top comment.
Served at ground
511
zero.
Likes.
Oh, wait, say that again. Hold on, say that again.
That dog looks like, and keep in mind, it's from user 563-456-9823, and the picture is Getter from Real Bros, the baby guy. And says that dog looks like a collection of genetic errors. Oh. That's the comment. I see the TikTok. I'm like, oh, it's a cute. You know, that's obviously my dog cute. Let's see what the comments say. Top comment is roasting him.
That's what we
and
all.
And the second
are,
comment says Norman looks like Steve Buscemi.
But Steve Buscemi again, like he's kind of a heartthrob if you look at it right.
Yeah.
There is a special place in hell for people who comment about a dog's looks online.
Mm-hmm. People said my hedgehog looked like a naked mole rat.
Well, it did.
So,
we're not talking about hedgehogs.
Hedgehogs aren't real.
No, hedgehogs are not.
That's not a pet.
No one gives a fuck about it.
Exactly like a naked mole rat.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Billy was trying to be relatable. Dude, that reminds me of the time that...
My worm farm got roasted on Twitter, too. People don't like cool stuff.
Yeah, my albino salamander, people were saying it wasn't hot.
I actually have another one that I wasn't going to bring to the show. I forgot to text you guys. I was going to save it for the show. I forgot about it until right now. On Saturday, remember we talked about, like, you're going to have to get Norman's horny up, whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for the boys.
For the boys. It happened. He started humping, going crazy. His dick came all the way out, and he just, like, stood there for 10 minutes, not moving. And I felt bad for him, so I got an ice cube out, and I had to hold an ice cube on his dick so it would go back in.
Oh, hey.
You didn't have to do that.
I did.
You could have just not touched his penis.
No, I did that for 10 minutes, and he literally stood still.
But what? No. I'm curious what went through your head where you're like, my dog has a boner. I better go to the freezer and get an ice cube out and then hold it onto his penis.
Because he stood still for 10 minutes just staring.
Has he been neutered yet?
Yes. And I was like, all right, I got to do something because clearly...
Yeah, this bro is down bad. I gotta jerk him off.
So he was just like staring at you, just with a huge boner hanging out.
Yeah,
dog Sean Watson.
Damn.
Yeah, it was.
Damn.
It was tough. So yeah, I'm even gonna go into my other Fyre Fest. It's not even.
What is your other Fyre Fest?
Well, I saw Quigs's tweet. He's down way worse, but Dogecoin is blowing up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He has been in on this for like 10 years. Like Liam was there. We were joking around. This is like a year and a half ago. Late night, we're joking around. He had been talking about Doge. I was like, all right, sell me on Doge. He did. I was like, all right, I'm going to put 500 into it. Basically, as a joke. And then I ended up selling it like a little while later. Like, it didn't do anything for like 2 months. And now,
how
like,
much
whatever.
Would it have been worth?
He, on July 6, 2020, said, I am now a proud owner of 1.3 million Dogecoin. That would be worth like 250 grand right now.
Oh, what? Dude, he used to get paid in Bitcoin, and he lost the wallet.
Yeah.
Like in 2011.
Yeah, so I feel kind of the same way because, like, I would probably have, like, 10 grand or something, but at least I'm not Quakes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You got paper hands.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I still have my Dogecoin. It wasn't that much, but I'm looking pretty nice. My portfolio is very strong at the moment.
That's crazy. Damn. All right, PFT, what's your Fyre Fest?
My Fyre Fest of the week is I lost my beach house.
Ah.
So I
all
had,
our Fyre Fests.
I know, man. I'm telling you, it would have been...
How'd you lose it?
It was going to be sick. They ended up selling the house.
So that's what they tell people they don't want to rent it to.
Listen, it was going to be white boy summer. They had an offer that... I knew the offer was coming through. I didn't know if it was going to hit.
Yeah.
But it was perfect. It was right on the beach, on the Jersey Shore, right next to a bar. Like, literally on the beach. So now I got to go back to zero. I'm still getting the Jeep. I'm still going Jeep Wrangler, taking all the doors off,
It's going to be the summer PFT.
Just live there.
Live out of the Jeep?
Yeah.
On the beach? That's not a bad idea. Actually, yeah, it's a terrible idea. But now I got to go back to square one and start looking for beach houses on the beach. And they're few and far between right now, so I'm probably going to end up getting a dump as opposed to this really nice one.
Damn.
And I was just, I would spend all day just looking at the Airbnb, looking at the porch, overlooking the ocean, just thinking to myself, that's going to be you this summer. Now I got to do it all over again.
Damn.
I know. It really is a fire fest for me.
I'm sorry. All right, I have two fire fests. Out there and you're all alone. Oh, shit. Hold on. Here we go. This is the pump up part of the song, though. This literally isn't the sad part.
You know what?
This is me holding an ice cube on Norman's deck.
You're trying to fix him. No, you already fixed him.
Yeah. All right, my fire fest. So I have two. One is you bring it up, Hank, about how you hope no one ever bullies my son. Well, I had a moment at the park on Sunday where I realized I might
Dog park?
Nope. The sun park. I might be that guy who ends up getting in like a fight at a Little League game because like a 5-year-old kid stole the ball from my son, who's not even two, and I just ripped it out of the 5-year-old kid's hand.
You know,
and then the dad looked at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, what's your son doing?
You know what that is? That's a big sunglasses on the back of the head, upside down guy move.
I don't know what to do. I mean, his son was way older than mine, and he just stole the ball from our ball, and I was like, you can't take that.
So now your son's going to think that you're going to step in for all of his fights in the future.
Yeah, I probably should just let him. But it was like the difference between five and less than two is significant.
Yeah.
But that's when he learns to be an underdog.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay. All right.
Have you taught him about war mode yet?
Yeah, I'll teach him war mode. I'll have him look in my eyes and be like, listen.
You got to teach him that Oklahoma wrestler move. Put some cowboy boots on him. Be like, just touch the side of his face and then boom.
The AJ Ferrari, the guy who was like, took the ACT once, 25, no big deal. The other Fyre Fest is my other son, Billy. So Instagram, which I actually understand, they've gotten a little bit better about bullying and all this stuff. Our Instagram, pardon my takes Instagram, got flagged. And I asked Gaz what the flag was for, because Gaz told me we got flagged. It was the picture of Billy's nose. So that was deemed bullying.
What? I didn't do it.
Did you report
it? I didn't do it. I 100% didn't do it.
Okay.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why does everyone think I'm
No, Billy, this happened just, a month ago? We had this conversation about Twitter.
Is it the video?
Interesting.
Is it the video? Or did you guys post a picture of my nose?
I think it's the picture of the nose that's, it's interesting that it got flagged.
Bro, I
unbelievable
did not
coincidence.
Just
I did not
happening.
Know. This is
what
no,
were you saying about
no.
my son fighting his
Twitter
for himself?
Now Instagram. Yeah.
No, this is
I mean, are going to take our TikTok down next?
Dude, people have been making fun of my nose since my nose actually grew before my body. So I even had this nose and I was just like,
now it's fine.
Like,
yeah. Then your body totally grew into it.
Constantly falling over cuz your nose was so heavy.
Yeah, but like I grew up like
Billy,
when we
who,
had like
let me just say
someone had to alert Instagram. Someone had to be like, someone should take a look at these comments.
Dude, I don't give a fuck about my nose.
Billy.
People in middle school used to make fun of my nose on Yik Yak, which is anonymous, and used to read it, and it was like,
that's
I'm like
brutal.
So desensitized to bullying.
Then okay, Billy football army
Billy's
too sensitive.
Billy, maybe the army's too sensitive.
The berserker blood cult boys.
I'm going to assume you didn't report it, but I just want it clear that it's legally in your contract. Like, we are legally allowed to bully you.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right.
It's kind of why you're here.
Yeah. Right. So, like, Instagram be like, hey, that's bullying. We're going to counter-sue them, be like, no. That's the guy we're allowed to bully.
Yes, 100%.
All right, so nobody make fun of us for making fun of Billy's nose. Nobody report us. What was the other thing that you got in trouble?
Interesting,
the hydration thing?
Yeah. Hydration. Dude. He reported Chris Long's Twitter.
I did not report his Twitter. Twitter was reporting people who posted about...
On the eve of 420, no less?
That were posting about, like, the city of Akron, and they'd just automatically report them for some reason.
You just found this out?
Sounds like you know a lot
How'd
about...
How'd you find this out?
Because I was
you got a lot of Twitter cops?
I was trying
friends?
To find out if I could, like, show people I didn't report any tweets, but
the best
can't.
Part is there was a memo sent around to all Twitter security that Billy is part of.
Yeah. So Billy, instead of looking at trends when he goes to the notifications or
like,
the Discover tab, you just see, like, the most 10 popular reported things, and then you go through those and you report all those. You're in, like... You're in a reverse hype group. You're in a hate group.
Mm-hmm. You're in a hate group.
What?
Billy's hate group.
Dude, I don't report shit.
Billy, what's your fire fest besides the fact that we just found out you reported our own Instagram?
Our
own Instagram.
Dude, I would not report our Instagram.
Own Instagram.
Billy, just hear me out, though.
Okay.
Just humor me. Someone
right.
saw those comments and took such offense to them that they were like, this is unacceptable.
This is bullying.
We need to get this post taken down. Who would do that?
Dude.
Who?
Big tech is a problem.
Uh-huh. Yep.
With a lot of censorship type stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like,
go
they
on.
Posted the Everywhere. Picture of... Part of my take Instagram has posted pictures, all bad pictures of all of us.
All of us.
Why was the one that conveniently Dude. Of you... The one
the
that got deemed bullying.
Dude.
They posted PFT short. They posted Big Cat fat. Mm-hmm. They posted the Photoshop of me with no beard.
They posted
all of the
Normie.
Comments.
That one was real, though.
Looking like a genetic freak.
Yep. All of the comments, just brutal.
Bro,
why was it the one of you?
I have no idea. Yeah, honestly, I'm totally not even sure if this even happened or existed.
You're right.
Because you guys would have texted it in the thread.
No.
Show some proof that this actually happened.
Gaz walked up to me this morning and said, hey, just want to give you a heads up. And I said, great. I will save that for Firefest. Thank you for alerting me.
If we can't make fun of somebody for having a big nose, then really what's the point of having the internet?
Mm-hmm. Or noses.
Don't say cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Don't say frog fucking.
Right. Anyway, I didn't do it.
All right, what's your fire fest?
I know
then?
My truth. I didn't work out as hard as I could have this week, and I've been beating myself.
Oh, dude, you should report yourself. Yeah. That's mean.
No, I like, this week I actually just, I skipped a couple workouts, and, I tried to work out Damn. Really hard today, and I,
wasn't the same.
It didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm behind the eight ball. I cheated myself very hard this week.
Yeah, you did. We could tell.
But that's your fire fest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long ago did you come up with that as your fire?
Dude,
how many seconds ago?
I was
did you
working
think of that?
Out this morning, and I finished my workout, but I was just like, "Damn!" Like,
I can't believe
I'm not operating.
Our own Instagram.
Billy, is that fucking? Is that why you don't have shoelaces so you won't hang yourself because of all the mean comments?
Oh, or is it because you're wearing no shoelaces for your hero that just passed away this week, Bernie Madoff? Did you say he was a hero of yours?
Who's that?
Okay, sure.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I mean, in a way, he kind of was like a king.
Kind of a Who? G?
Yeah, kind of
Wait,
G.
Wait, so you're saying you didn't work out as hard this week, so you're feeling insecure about your body?
No.
All right, yeah. Jake, what's yours?
I have two. Hank. One is not your guy's fault, but we have Cereal Box Part 2 with the movie poster. But not your guy's fault.
Not our fault. On the Sean Payton movie poster that we made... I did not tell them what to put at the bottom of it, and they left Sweet Jake out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Jake, that was not intentional. But the fact that it's happened twice kind of means that we have to turn it into a continuing thing where we will, in the future, intentionally leave you off things just because people will alert you to it.
And good news, Jake, we know that you can actually take it instead of, like, Billy, who will report it. So, keep doing
it's
it.
Fine.
That's what it would have been marked as contained sensitive material.
Yeah. Bullying. All right. And your next one?
Yeah. A place that rhymes with Sust Jalid changed their menu, and my two favorite salads are now off the board.
That's tough.
I went into them today, and I wasn't happy.
What are you going to do about it?
I mean, I just have to cope.
Do you think that there's ever been a fight in Sust a Jess salad? Jalid.
No.
Probably not.
No, definitely it seems like the most calm restaurant atmosphere in and out you can think of.
Yeah.
Maybe if they mess up your order, people are like chirping at
a salad place.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I just think it's absurd that they have winter and summer menus in a fucking salad place.
Well, dude, you got it. Yeah.
It's salad.
It's salad.
Okay. I don't want to eat the same
pick
shit
your
in the winter.
Yeah, but what's like, it's salad.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between salad in the winter and salad in the summer?
It's like saying, what's the difference between football in the fall and football in the spring? How many Jackson State games have you watched?
You know what? You're probably one of those guys who thinks like, oh, I'll eat a pear at any point in the year.
Yes.
No.
No, until you eat an off-season pear. If you eat an off-season pear,
chicken.
Every tomato is made the same. No. There's seasons, bro.
You ever eat like a dead of winter avocado? It stinks.
You guys are talking about individual items.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a menu.
Yeah.
And it's six.
Like Taco Bell does not have a fucking winter menu and a summer menu.
It stinks. I'm the most loyal customer to that place, and they
you
just
are.
Let me down.
You are.
I get it
so
four times
you
a week.
Say their
100
name.
Or 99.
Yeah. No free ads.
36.
18.
Bullfrogs don't sleep.
Also Firefest, Jake and Hank both. Well, Jake lost in ping pong. Hank won.
21.
32. The 21. Nose post is still up. I'm calling.
BS. Right.
But it got
Gaz
flagged.
Gaz fucking disputed it, you dummy.
We have to be dude, like, no, it's fine that they're bullying this guy.
It's the
one that compares me to Nigel Thornberry, which I think is pretty cool because that dude is sick.
Okay.
Love you
guys. You reported it.
Love you guys.
Look, wait. What the top comment is Billy saying fuck you to someone.
Oh.
Well, you're clearly right.
No, I said fuck you to Marty Mush because he screenshotted this and everyone else was smiling.
Seems like
okay, yeah, no, I admit to that. Yeah, 100%. I told Marty Mush. Yeah. Talking away. Today's another day to find you shining away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love. Take on me. Take me on. I'll be gone. Lifting your dreams.
Homies nag me to make this thing out of the bag. Gone.